Hello there, this is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. Welcome, and I'm so happy that you joined in today to study with us. Today we're going back into our study of imputation, the letter I, the second study in the letter I, imputation. Now, we did go over more or less an introduction on our first lesson there, and we defined what imputation was and tried to get an idea of what the scriptures are talking about when it talks about imputation. Imputation is a very important part of your salvation, and that's the main topic that we want to talk about while we're going over what the scriptures say about imputation, because whether you know it or not, that happened to you whenever you were born again. God has a government, a legal system according to his holiness that has to be met in order for things to be accomplished. And one of them is imputation. Imputation had to take place in your salvation in order for you to be legally saved in God's eyes. Otherwise, he'd have to hold you as a sinner, and his wrath would be upon you, and you would perish and die and go to hell because you are in your own sins. You're in your sins, and you are basing your eternity on your own self-righteousness. You need something imputed to you, and that's the blood and the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ imputed to your account. Now, that's what we're going to get a little deeper into today and talking about. But remember when we defined imputation, we come up with one that says to reckon to one what does not belong to him. We talked about these cards that we carry around in our pocket now to do our business with instead of using paper money. That's just as good, that fake stuff. It wasn't worth a dime anyway. But it's more like a credit on an account that has your name and your numbers and all that kind of business and your personal information on that specific card. And whenever you get your money or your paycheck or your funds or whatever it is that you get, you have it credited to your account. And therefore, it's yours, and it belongs to you. And whenever they speak of that money, they know that it is in your possession, that it's yours. Well, that's sort of like imputation. It's credited to your account. Something is credited to your account, but this account that we're talking about is your eternity, your eternal life, your standing before God, your whether or not you are saved or whether you are lost. And that's very important to every human being, even though the majority are going down, choosing to go down the wide path rather than the narrow path that the Lord talked about. He said, wide is the way that leadeth unto destruction. He's not talking about countries or something like that being destroyed. He's talking about the destruction of you. Wide is the way that leadeth unto destruction. And many there are that go down that path, the Lord said. But to reckon to one what does not belong to him. Now, of course, that money that we're talking about that's credited to you does belong to you. You earned it or you worked for it during your life or however it is, it's yours. But one thing that does not belong to you is righteousness. You have self-righteousness, like we all do, because we have the Adamic nature, and we have a sinful nature, we believe that we're good. And the Bible says, in the Pauline epistles, it says that I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. So unless you're born again, the Bible says there's nothing good in you. Now, some of you just cringed on that. Well, either the Bible is correct or the Bible is a lie. Now, if we do a self-evaluation and study ourselves and then apply that, there's no good thing in me. We're not talking about doing good deeds and things like that. We're talking about your person, your being, your existence. I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. So you need something good in you, but you can't muster it up on your own. It has to be imputed to you. It needs to be put on your account in God's courtroom. Because if you stand before the Lord, you're going to stand before Him one of two ways. You're going to stand before Him holy and righteous because something has been imputed to you that did not belong to you. Or you're going to stand before Him in your own righteousness, and according to the Lord, that's not good enough. It's not even righteousness. It's a human nature. It's an Adamic nature. It's a fallen nature that God does not approve of, that He does not bless. He condemns it, and His wrath is upon it. Yeah. So, moving into that, we're going to understand just a little bit more about what imputation is today, because we're going to go into, imputation is described as charging in the scriptures. That's not to take away from your account, but to add to your account. To add to your account. I guess it could go both ways. But imputation in the scriptural sense is something that is added to your account that did not belong to you. Okay? So we went over a few things, and we said that imputation is described as charging evil to an innocent person. Remember that? And we also talked about imputation is described as charging evil to an evil person. And then we also seen, lastly, in that part that we studied on our last lesson, imputation is described as charging good to a good person. Good to a good person. Now, of course, in the Old Testament, the way that the Lord deals with people in different ways, in different dispensations. We'll get into that on another study. But we have to understand that God didn't deal with people in the Old Testament like He does during this dispensation that we live in now, the dispensation of grace, with a gospel of the grace of God, the Pauline gospel, where He called it my gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And being in this dispensation and under grace, it frees us from the law, and the law is no longer charged against us when we go into God's courtroom, because we're under the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now, the law is still good, because if you try to go through God's courtroom without Jesus Christ's payment imputed to your account, you won't make it. You're going to go in there with the wrath of God on you, and you're not going to make it. The Bible says that if thou shalt believe in thine heart that God has, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Okay, well, if you've done that, then as soon as you've done what the Scripture says and you obeyed the Lord, at that very moment, the Lord saved you. And God the Holy Ghost began to indwell you. He came inside your body and He began to indwell you. But one of the things that happened was something was imputed to you, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You were no longer, your sins were taken away. They're no longer charged. Your sins are no longer You're no longer responsible for them because they were charged to Christ's account. And that's what we're getting into today. But how did all this come about? This charging to somebody's account and somebody's account being charged to somebody else's account, something being imputed to this side and something being imputed to that side. Well, how did all that come about? Well, it all came about because of Adam and because of the sin. When Adam sinned and disobeyed God, that was a very important thing that happened. It wasn't just, I slipped up. No, it wasn't that way. When he sinned, he disobeyed God, and Adam fell from his righteousness, God's righteousness that was upon him. Adam was perfect. Therefore, sin fell upon all men, the Bible says. So, Adam's sin is imputed to the human race. Why? Because it's by Adam's seed that we are alive and exist. If you're alive and you're breathing, you have a spirit, a soul, and a body. And you exist. And that come all the way back through your father, through your grandfather, through your great-grandfather, and on and on and on and on and on, all the way back to Adam and Adam's seed. When Adam knew Eve, she bare sons, and those sons had seeds that were cursed, that were fallen, that had a sinful nature now. The Lord told him, don't eat that fruit. And when he ate it, something happened to him that took him out of God's, took him out of God's protection, took him out of the perfect righteousness of the Lord. It made him imperfect. It made him a sinner. And if you told the truth, you know there's something that's wrong with you. I know there's something wrong with me. And when more you study the scriptures, the more you understand what it is. It's that Adamic nature. You have another nature. You have a nature about you when you're born that's sinful. You don't have to teach a young person how to sin. You have to teach them how not to sin. Because if you watch a child from its birth, as it grows, it's eventually going to do something sinful. Even infants lie to you, the scripture says. How many of you have had an infant or knew of an infant that you tried to please and you fed it and burped it and cleaned it and put a new diaper on it and on the child and went to put it in and just rubbed his back and hugged on him and smelled him, brand new baby, just a perfect smell, beautiful smell. But then he's sitting there sleeping just precious. You take him and you tiptoe into the bedroom where the crib is and you lay him down in that bed and he just laying there with his face on his belly and his face sideways and just as precious looking as you can. You pull that cover up over him and you tiptoe out and you turn that light out and you turn the knob real slow and shut the door real soft, and as soon as you let go of that handle, you say, well, what in the world? And you go back in there and you grab that baby up. And when you grab him up, he hushes. And you say, well, there's something wrong here. Now, back when I had my children, we were still using safety pins. That'd be the first thing we'd check, whether we stuck the baby with a safety pin or something. If that wasn't there, you'd check his diaper. Maybe he had to go to the bathroom. You never know. And nothing there. It's all right that way. You check him for rashes. You check him for this. You check him for that. See if he needs to be burped. Maybe walk around in circles in the bedroom there and burp him a little more. See if he needs no burp, no burp. Baby just quiet as can be. As a matter of fact, falling back to sleep. You take him, put him back down real soft in the bed, and you walk out, and you know everything's all right with him. He's falling back to sleep, and as soon as you shut that door, you go back in there and pick him up and check him again, and you go back out, and he takes off again. You say, well, that little liar. And that's exactly what he is. He's lying to you. Now, how does that come about? Infants don't know how to go to school. He didn't go to school or learn how to lie. It's nature. It's natural. He has an Adamic nature. And it's built into his being. And it's built into your being. And as soon as you admit that and study your Bible with that in mind, you'll start understanding what's going on in this world today. The Adamic nature changes everything. The Bible says that the unsaved cannot understand the things of God. They don't have any way of understanding that they have an Adamic nature. They're lost in the world. They're without God and lost in this world. And they don't understand what's going on. They think they can do good. They say good and bad and bad and good. That's not what the Bible talks about. The Bible talks about the Adamic nature. And it talks about the righteousness of Christ and his nature being imputed to somebody that asks for it. Yeah. So, how did this thing come about? Adam's sin? Well, how did the Lord work with this matter? The Lord knew that man had fallen. He loved his creation, and he wanted to do something about it. So, he sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus died. And was he came into the world, was born of a virgin, lived 33 and a half years on this earth, and then went into his 3.5 year ministry of healing people and preaching the gospel, and on his way to the cross on purpose, with another mission in mind, also to the Jews, which didn't pan out because they rejected him and crucified him and killed him. So that's carried on into the future, which we'll talk about some other time, called the kingdom of heaven. Okay, but the kingdom of God did get established, and that is the kingdom of God that's within you, the spiritual realm. The Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross, he was crucified, he was buried, and 3 days later he resurrected, went around and proved to everybody that he was indeed alive, and then ascended about 40 days later back to his heavenly Father, and there he is until he comes at the rapture to get the church out. And then at the second advent, after that, after the tribulation, to come and settle up with everybody that hates him. So Adam's sin is imputed to the human race. Nobody is excluded in this matter. If you're human, you have an Adamic nature. And it's natural for you to sin. It's natural for you to lie. It's natural for you to steal. It's natural for you to have unclean thoughts. It's natural for you to murder people in your mind. You say, oh, no, not me. Yes, yes, yes. It's natural for you to envy. It's natural for you to be jealous. It's natural for you to do ungodly things that God does not approve of. And the scripture tells us that. That's what the Adamic nature is all about. You want to know why you have to fight meanness and orneriness and all kinds of stuff like that? It's because you're naturally that way. It was imputed to you. When your mama and daddy made you and you was born out of you, when you became a person in your mother's womb, an Adamic nature was in you, because you came from your father's seed, which came from his father's seed, which came from his father's seed, which came from Adam's seed, which fell and sinned, and sin was imputed to him and the human race through his seed. You getting this? So there's no way out of it. You can't be good enough to get rid of this nature. It's your nature. A cat does not meow. A cat does not meow to become a cat. He meows because he is a cat. A sinner does not become a sinner, does not sin to become a sinner. A sinner becomes the sinner sins because he is a sinner. It's his nature. A dog doesn't bark in order to become a dog. He barks because he is a dog. Human beings sin because they're sinners. You see that? Amen. All right, moving right along now. Let's talk about this matter of Adam's sin is imputed to the human race some. What about it? Well, number one, the imputation of sin is based on the fall of man. Does the scripture say that? Well, let's read it and see. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 16 and 17. The Bible says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Now we read on in the scriptures and we find out that after Adam did eat of the fruit and was dishonest or disobeyed the Lord, he didn't die physically. Something else died. The imputation of sin is based on the fall of man. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, "Wherefore, as by one man, sin, singular, as a whole, sin, not sins, sin, entered into the world. Wherefore, as by one man," who? Adam. "Sin," not one sin or an individual sin, the nature of sin entered into the world, and death by sin. You see, the reason we have death is because Adam sinned, and sin entered into the world, into his nature, and into the world where it was not there before. And the result is that sin bringeth forth death. It's sin that kills us all. "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men." Why? "For that all have sinned." It's their nature now. Sin entered into the world through Adam, and through his seed was passed upon all men, and the result is everybody sins. Makes perfect sense, doesn't it? James chapter 1, verse 14 through 16. The Bible says, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust, and is enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren." Now he's talking to saved people that have been born again there. All right, what else? Well, not only is the imputation of sin is based on the fall of man, but how sin was imputed to the human race is explained. The Bible explains how it was imputed. How does it do that? Well, in Romans 5, chapter 12, verse 21, let's see that. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Notice that justification, that's part of your salvation also. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. You're condemned because it started with Adam, and it came through his seed, and it's your nature, and you're condemned because of it. Now you say, that's not fair. Well, have you sinned? Then it's fair, isn't it? God said, don't sin. Now, if you've been however old you are, living that many years, and you've never sinned against God, then this does not apply to you. But if you have sinned just once, one transgression, you've broken God's law. And if you've broken God's law, then you're no longer perfect. You're under God's wrath, and you're condemned. All of us are included in that. Might as well try to quit trying to get out from under it, because you know in your heart it's our nature. Now listen to this. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. There's a way out of it. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, all of us. So by the obedience of one, Jesus Christ, shall many be made righteous. Do you see that? Moreover, the law entered, that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. How sin was imputed to the human race is explained there. One man, and it came down to us. It's in our nature. It's in our nature. All right, what else? Now, do you see what the Scripture's telling us? It's not because of what you have done that makes you a sinner. It is because of what you are. You are from Adam's seed, the human race. You do not sin to become a sinner. You sin because you are a sinner. You are a sinner because you are a descendant of Adam's seed. And because you are a descendant of Adam's seed, you sin. And sin brings forth death. I've been to, after this coming weekend, I've been to 3 funerals this month alone. People die. A dog doesn't bark to become a dog. A dog barks because he's a dog. Cat doesn't meow to become a cat. He meows because he's a cat. God told Adam, don't. Adam did anyway. Death fell upon, was imputed to Adam as God said would happen. Adam's seed within him, when he conceived, Adam's seed that was within him, when conceived, came forth in the likeness and similitude of Adam, a sinner. Nothing hard or confusing about this thing. The Lord's hid nothing about our condition from us. He's told us every single detail and what the result of it was, where it came from, what it means, and as far as his holiness and his justice, what the result of it is and what it costs us. But he also tells us that he made a way out. Isn't that wonderful? Yes, it is wonderful. We have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Lord if you're saved. And if you're not saved, you have opportunity through these lessons and through the Word of God and through faith to receive Christ as your Savior, because he did that because we have no way out other than that. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, because it's your nature and you are an enemy of God according to your nature. And the Bible says that when you're born again, the Lord does everything for you. He adopts you into his family. He imputes Christ's righteousness to you, and you are no longer a sinner. You're a son of God. Now, you believe that or you don't. And that's the difference. The difference is that if you don't believe, Revelation chapter 21, verse 8 tells you what happens to that. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You get a choice in the matter. God doesn't force you to come to him to take care of this sinful nature matter and become part of his family. He didn't force you to do that. He leaves that will as a free agent. You choose. Here it is. Here's what I've done. Here's what happened with Adam. Here's how it came about with you. You're a sinner. You're a natural sinner. And if you want to get out of it, here's what I've done to provide that for you. And if you don't want that, fine. Suffer the consequences. You see, that's simple. Very simple. Imputation of sin is based on the fall of Adam. What else? Well, how sin was imputed to the human race. We see how that happened. So, what else has to do with Adam's sin is imputed to the human race? What else does the Bible say? Well, a wider implication of Adam's sin imputed to the human race is found in Romans chapter 8. Let's read it. Romans chapter 8, verse 18 through 23. Let me read it to you. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now, he's talking about us that has received Christ, not people that reject Christ. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestations of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. The Bible says sin has affected the whole creation. It's affected the creatures, the creation, It's under the bondage of corruption also. And it says the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain, even until now. You see how entropy works in the world and how everything falls apart? Why is that? Why is that? Why do things get old and age and just fall apart and rust? I've been working on a chicken house out there and I'm beating out all the old rotten wood. Why does wood rot? Entropy. In a closed system, everything goes to pot. It doesn't get better, like all these knuckleheads and educated people say, everything's getting better. Well, I don't see it. Show me. Show me something that's getting better. Show me something that doesn't wax old and you have to repair it or either go get something new. Huh? Clothes wear. Clothes get old. Shoes get old. We get old. It says that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. But Christ has fixed all that. The Lord Jesus Christ fixed it all. The Heavenly Father fixed it with his Son coming. What a tremendous truth. The lost man pretends that he is content with this world as it is, and his life, and all the while he spends his entire life searching for an answer to unanswered fulfillment. He so desperately needs and does not even know what he's looking for, but still carries on searching. You know what I'm talking about. Now, in this scripture that we just got through reading, we can see that Adam's sin did not only curse him and was imputed to all of his seed, but included all of creation. All creatures, the Bible says in verse 20 and 21, and the whole creation, verse 22, and ourselves, the saved, born again. We still have the sinful nature even being born again. So when we die, we put off this flesh. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We leave this body and we go to be with the Lord. And the Lord's going to resurrect this body and make it like unto his glorious body. According to God's word, we're waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ to come and get us. It's called the adoption. Actually, being physically with Jesus in verse 23. At the second advent, when he leads us back here to earth, part of the curse is going to be lifted. But until then, we wait. Chapter 8 and verse 24 and 25 says, "For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope." And that's what everybody in the world is looking for, is some kind of hope that they can see. That's not what the Bible offers. The hope that's in the scripture is unseen, for we walk by faith, not by sight. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. You getting this? We're talking about imputation. Imputation's a very important part of salvation. You've either had something imputed to you, you've already had something imputed to you that you can't get rid of, and that's that Adamic nature. That's why you sin, brother. That's why you sin, sister. That's why you sin, you people that don't know Christ. That's why you sin. Stop looking for the reason. I just told it to you. The scriptures have just explained it to you. That's why you are a sinner. When you lie, it's because you're a sinner. It's because it's your nature. You say, "That's not my nature." Then why do you lie? It's your nature. The Bible says this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19 through 22, if in this life only, the body that we're living in and this world that we're living in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. You want to know how come you're miserable? Because you're in this world without God and no hope. And you're stuck here. You're stuck in your flesh, and it is sinful, and its nature is sinful, and you can't get out of it unless you kill yourself. And then it's going to be worse on you if you kill yourself without Christ. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by Adam came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Talking about Jesus Christ. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. That's beautiful, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful news. Listen to me. If you're not born again and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, I've given you enough of the gospel already, the death, burial, and resurrection of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's called the gospel of the grace of God. That's how people are saved. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, we're fixing to close this. I'm going to close this lesson out. And what have we been talking about? We've been talking about this matter of sin and the fallen nature and imputations, what we're talking about. But we haven't got into the good part of imputation according to the scriptures. We're talking about the bad part of imputation, the bad part. Adam's sin is imputed to the human race. And all you got to do is go walk in that mirror, go look in that mirror and look in your eyes, back behind your eyes, and tell yourself the truth. Am I a sinner or not? Do I have a sinful nature or not? If you don't have a sinful nature, then you don't think bad thoughts. And if you do think bad thoughts, why do you think bad thoughts? If you steal, why do you steal? If you cuss people out, why do you cuss? It's because it's your nature. And you're not going to get rid of that nature by practicing good stuff and religion and all this blabbity, 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 blab. It's your nature. The only way that you can overcome that nature is to receive Jesus Christ's nature, His righteousness. And then you'll have two natures until the Lord comes, until you die, and that old man, the flesh, the thing that has no good thing in it we talked about, until it dies, when that body goes back in the grave, you'll dump that old nature and you won't have it anymore. You'll be completely 100% righteousness of Christ and you will not have to fight that no more. But until then, you're going to have to put up with it. But the only way that you can battle against that old Adamic nature is to have Christ's righteousness upon you and God the Holy Ghost indwell in you, which comes whenever you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now listen, the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, with your mouth, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now that's God's words. God says that Adam's nature was imputed to you. Now he's either right or wrong. God says if you call upon his name, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, he'll save you. That's either right or wrong. Same person saying this, saying both things. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. There is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Would you be willing to, if Jesus would accept you just like you are, would you be willing to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior right now? By faith, you don't have any proof except God's Word says so. And would you be able to believe God's word enough and exercise enough faith to call upon his name with your mouth and believe that God hath raised him from the dead? Would you? All right, I'm going to pray a prayer, and my prayer can't save you. It's just to help you out to pray. Or you can pray any old way you want to. The Bible says that if thou, you, shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Just pray this. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name, and I've heard what Brother Thurman has said about the gospel, and I believe that I do have the Adamic nature, Lord. I never understood how come I sin, and I can't stop sinning. But I believe that Jesus Christ, your Son, came and died for my sins, and by faith, I accept him as my Savior, and I'm asking you to save me. And I believe that you raised him from the dead, and that he's with you, just like your word says. And I'm trusting in Jesus to give me eternal life and save me from this sin that is my nature. Thank you for my salvation, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you just prayed that prayer, did you mean it? Was you talking to God when you prayed that prayer? Well, then, God, the Bible says it's impossible for God to lie. God keeps his word with everybody. Whether it's cursing them, or whether it's blessing them, or whether it's saving them, or condemning them. He keeps his word. Now, the Lord said this. He said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, is that what you just did? And believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead. Did you believe that? Thou shalt be saved. Now, according to God's word, and him not being a liar, and what you just did, obeyed his word, and believed, and called upon his son, according to God's word, what did he just do? He just saved you. And that's for eternity. He saved you, and he is in control of everything that happens to you from here on out, having to do with your salvation. You are saved permanently and forever in the instant that you believed on Jesus Christ just then. The Bible says that, and we're going to get more into that. And what was just happened is you was imputed once with Adam's sin. And you had a sin, you have a sinful nature. You still have that. But since you prayed that prayer and you minded the Lord and you exercised faith on what God said and what his word said, God kept his promise, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Shall be saved. Now, this is where the new imputation comes in. You have just been imputed Christ's righteousness. It's on your account now. Christ's righteousness. And God does not condemn you anymore. You are not the enemy of God. You've been adopted into the family of God, and you are a son of God according to the scriptures. Now, that's a lot to swallow right now, but I'm just telling you what just happened. If you believed on Christ just like that prayer, and you meant it in your heart, you didn't know what was going to happen or anything else, you're just going by what you heard, God's word, then God kept his part of the deal and he saved you. Isn't that wonderful? Yes, it is. And that's how all of us get saved. Not just you. I got saved that way. Everybody listening to this and studying with us that is born again and in the family of God got saved the same exact way. All in different places and different times and different ages and different situations and all this, that, and the other. God done the same thing for all of us through his word, hearing his word and believing on Jesus Christ by faith. Congratulations, you're a son of God and you're part of the family of God. Keep on listening to these. You need God's word now. You come back and study with us, okay? And all of you brothers and sisters, guess what? Just being part of this study, you've just had rewards added to your account for people getting saved. See? See how that thing works? Adam's sin is imputed to the human race. That's what we've talked about today, and we're going to stop right there. And we're going to get back into some more of this matter pretty soon. We're going to stop right there, and we'll talk about some more when we come back on our next lesson. Good stuff. Good stuff. Imputation. Did you know about that? You do now. Let's talk about it some more. It gets better and better from here on out. Now that we understand that our human nature was imputed to us and that we have sinned against the Lord and we need a Savior, imputation gets better from here on out. So let's get together and study some more, okay? This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. I look forward to studying with you again. Until then, the Lord bless you. Bye-bye.